in these troubling and scary days. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, that it's inspired, that we can believe it, that it's not just written by man, but that it was inspired by you. Father, we thank you for your Word and for the ability to encourage us and to guide us in our footsteps, basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible. Oh, how powerful that is. Use it in our hearts today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the first one that we want to look at is the 10th one from the top. Messiah would be buried with the rich. And we did look at this one, I believe, very quickly. And let's go ahead. Let's read Isaiah 53, verse 9. Who would like to read that for us this morning? That he would be buried with the rich.
And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth.
Very good. Yes, he was made his grave with the wicked. And we know the details because right here it shares with us that, yes, it was fulfilled in Matthew 27, verses 57 through 60. We'd like to read that one.
When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed.
Yes, so prophecy fulfilled. And it's interesting, it says a new tomb. Even today, if you go to Israel, they have the tomb where they believe, right, real close to where they believe Jesus was crucified. Still not complete, it's not finished, and it's still there, and they believe that's the one where Jesus was buried. We don't know that 100% for sure. But it is so new that it was never even completed, never finished. And so they believe possibly that is the tomb where Jesus was buried. The next prophecy is Messiah would resurrect from the dead. And that one is found in Psalm 16, verse 10, and also in Psalm 49, verse 15. Who would be willing to read that for us?
For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah.
Yes. Amen. And then the prophecy is fulfilled in here. Messiah would resurrect from the dead, and it is fulfilled in Matthew 28, verses 2 through 7. She's got her Bible opened up. Thank you.
And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you.
Yes. And then the next one, that he is resurrected. Messiah would resurrect from the dead. Did I go backwards? How did I do that? Maybe I got two of them here. It's resurrect from the dead. How did I get two of them? That's interesting. Yeah, Acts 2. So this one here is Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 32. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand. And then down here at the bottom, therefore being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption, that Jesus hath raised up there whereof we all are witnesses. So it refers to the fact that Jesus Christ arose from the grave, that he did not, and then, of course, here they ascended up into heaven. So here's my question. This is my question. Did Jesus Christ really, really go down into the grave, and did he spend 3 days and three nights in hell? That's a good question, huh? I am so glad you asked it. Because we're going to go ahead and answer it here. Here. You're welcome. Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay. So let's look at the prophecy. This here is not on my list here. This is my own notes. This is something. So I want to go ahead. Of course, the prophecy in Psalm 16:10 says, for if thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And then also in Psalm 49:15 says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He shall receive me, Selah. And we looked at that one as well. And we know that Jesus, because we referred to this before, remember, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, it says in Matthew 12 and verse 40, it says this, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the well's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So there are some scholars believe that Jesus spent 3 days and three nights in hell, in torment. And let's look at this. In fact, let's look here. I want to first of all look in John 20, verses 11 through 18. John 20, 11 through 18. And I think he's not going to have that up there. But who would like to read this, 20 through 18? I can go ahead and read it. This, yep. John chapter 20. Verses 11, let's see, I had it just a second. John 20, 11 through 18. Yep, I was right. 11 through 18.
But Mary. But Mary stood outside of the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stood down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeth two angels in white sitting, and one at the head, and one at the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Woman seeketh thou? Whom seekest thou? She's supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him from here, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him,
Rabboni, yeah.
Which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day, that's 19.
Yep. Very good. So let's go back here. Look at verse 17. Here's Mary, turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni. She recognized who it is, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, and listen to what Jesus said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. So here Mary is. She recognized who Jesus is. And she runs up to Jesus, and Jesus says, touch me not, I have not ascended up to my Father. Literally what that's saying is stop clinging to me. In other words, Mary came up to her and wrapped her arms around Jesus and gave him a great big hug. Master, Jesus, the Savior, he is risen. And Jesus says, all right, let go, Mary. It's time for me to go. So he's saying, I haven't ascended to the Father yet. And it's not that he stops her right away and says, don't touch me. That word there, touch, it could also be translated cling. Stop clinging to me. Let me go. I have not ascended up to my Father yet. And so that is one thought to think of in this case here. So Jesus has not yet, as of yet, ascended to his Father. And why is he ascending to his Father? What is the purpose? We have Mary's consultation and then the grave revealed. Let me read these. Luke 16:21. Luke 16, verse 21. Go ahead and turn to it and follow along with me. Luke 16 and verse 21. This is one of the parables that Jesus told. 21 all the way down to verse 31. Here we go. And desiring to be fed, this is the poor man. He's been thrown in front of, are you going to read it? You're trying to get to it yet. Okay. Luke 16 and verse 21. Say amen when you get there. Amen. There's one. Amen. All right. Luke 16, verse 21. So this is the poor man. He's been thrown in front of the gate of the rich man. And it says, in desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into, where's that? Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And being beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Excuse me. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, this is really interesting, they will repent. Is that true? Jesus rose from the grave. They haven't repented. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And is that not true? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He rose from the grave. But they are not repenting. They're not repenting, but they got the message of the cross. So here's my point. When this Jesus shares this parable, the Bible tells us that in Abraham's bosom, there are two sections. That rich man, as soon as he died, he opened up his eyes, and where was he? He was in hell. He was in torment. There's no purgatory. There's no in between, because as soon as he died, he was in torment. He was in hell. And he lifted up his eyes, and there was a great gulf between him and Abraham's bosom. So there in the grave, there are two sections. There's Abraham's bosom, in which you have the Old Testament saints, and then there's hell, a place of torment. Now, I believe that Jesus, after he died, he spent 3 days and three nights in hell, in the grave, just as Noah, or Jonah, spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. And so Jesus, I believe, rather than going into that section of torment, he actually went into Abraham's bosom where the saints were. And the purpose of going there was that he was going down there to gather up the saints and take them to the presence of God, presenting his blood that I have died for them. And the Old Testament saints then were taken up into heaven to spend the rest of the time there in the presence of God, up there in the presence of God up in heaven, because now the slain lamb has died. He was crucified, presented his blood, and we're going to look at some verses. Any questions? Yes. Yep. Yep. So I got a couple other verses here to read as well, to look at. He is worthy. Let's look at, first of all, Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 1:3. Who would like to read that for us? Hebrews 1:3. Will, did you say you're going to read it? Okay, Hebrews 1:3, Dana. There it is.
The sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command.
Whoops, that's not the right
one.
Is that it? Hebrews 1:3. It's up here on the screen. Who being in the brightness of his glory?
His glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged out sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Very good. Purged our sins on the cross, on Calvary, and now sitting on the right hand of the Father on high as he ascended up into heaven and now in the presence of God. Then we also have not only Hebrews 1:3, but let's also go to Revelation chapter 5 and verses 1 through 10. Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Yep, that's a long one. Who would do that one? All right, Tuck will do it. This one's an emotional story. This one gets me crying. The tears trickle up in my eyes on this one. Go ahead, Tuck.
And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Amen. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
Amen. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. He was slain, shed his blood for the sins of the world. So I believe that when Jesus was crucified, that he died, that yes, and some people believe that hell and Abraham's bosom is in the center of our earth. They believe hell, that's where it is. And we don't know that. We don't know that for sure. We just know that hell is in reference to down south. And some scholars believe that it's in the center of our earth and Abraham's bosom after a great gulf that is fixed. And that our Savior came after dying on the cross, went down into Abraham's bosom, gathered up the Old Testament saints, went up into the presence of God in heaven, presented his blood. I have died for these. And that's what the Old Testament saints were looking forward to, was for the crucifixion of our Savior. Oh, the reunion that must have taken place after the crucifixion of Christ, as he went down and stood face to face with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those Old Testament saints that we long to be able to meet and see and talk with. And I believe that that's what occurred when Jesus Christ was crucified, that he didn't go down to that part of hell, that of torment, but rather he went into Abraham's bosom, presented himself before them, sent them and brought them up with him to the presence of God. And somewhere in there, as he's talking to Mary, Mary, stop clinging to me, for I still have to ascend to my Father. Presenting his blood that was shed on the cross for our sin, and presenting the Old Testament saints. There's also, after Revelation, there is John 1:29. And also John 1:36. So John 1:29, and this refers to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Here's a few verses dealing with that. John 1:29 says,
The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Yes. And then we also have verse 36.
And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God.
Yes, amen. And then also 1 Peter 1:19. 1 Peter 1:19. Verse 19.
But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
A lamb without blemish and without spot. The sinless Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And so that's the little study that I wanted to do, in the fact that Jesus Christ is worthy, and that he did not spend 3 days and three nights in torment in hell, but rather 3 days and three nights he spent there with Old Testament saints in Abraham's bosom, ready to gather them up, taking them before the presence of God with his shed blood, presenting it to the Father, and said, I have died for these. What a promise. Let's go back to this. We got a few more minutes, 5 minutes, and then we will close. But let's quickly, instead of sliding really fast through these, let's look at some of these others that we kind of went really quick through. Messiah would ascend to heaven. This one here is proclaimed. There we go. Let's read Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. Who would like to read those?
Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Salah.
Yes. Psalm 24, and then it's fulfilled in Mark 16, verse 19.
So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
Yes. Amen. And then also Luke 24, 51. I'll read that one. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, that he sent to heaven. I love it when the angels talk to those standing around and said, why gaze ye up into heaven? The same Savior that you've seen come up will return in like manner. That's why some scholars believe that he'll come back at Mount Ararat? That's not right. No, Mount of Olives. Mount of Olives, yes. That's where he will return. I had a little bit of a mind block there. Yes, and then Messiah would be seated at God's right hand. We've already seen these, right? That's a couple of them that we looked at just now. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. And then it's also found in Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That is powerful. And we find that fulfilled in Mark 16, verse 19. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with the signs following. That was just read as well. And then also Matthew 22, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. A direct quote from the Old Testament. I mean, how can you miss it? It's right there. And then the prophecy proclaimed Messiah would be sacrificed for sin. He would be a sacrifice. And that is in Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 12. Who would like to read those? That's a big one. That Isaiah 53, let's see here. Instead of reading the whole thing, right here, let's see. When thou shalt make thy soul. Here we go. When thou, right here. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servants justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And it is revealed in Romans 5, 6 through 8. Who would be willing to read that?
For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Christ died for us. Our sacrifice for sin died that we might have life. Well, the Lord impressed upon me to use this as a jumping board, talk a little bit about where did Christ spend those 3 days and three nights. The blood was shed. What was that? He said at the Hilton. There you go. His shed was blood, and the Bible shares without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So therefore, his blood was shed. The price was paid. It was finished. And although there are some scholars today that believe that Christ spent those 3 days and three nights in torment, I do not believe that. I believe that the price had been paid. It is finished. And that he went down into Abraham's bosom. And I bet some of you are thinking, I didn't even know that was a question. How many of you were thinking that? Didn't even know that was a question. Didn't even dawn on me. Yeah. Yes. Is it? Yep. Yes. Right. Yes. Right. Uh-huh. Oh. Yes. Huh. Yeah, see if you can find that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's look to the Lord in word of prayer and get ready for our next service. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, this opportunity to study your word, to be challenged by it. We thank you so much for so many of the prophecies in the Old Testament that are fulfilled and revealed to us today. I pray that will encourage us as we look forward to the future. And Father, our future looks so bleak, and it just doesn't look very promising when we look at America and the way that it's going. I just pray, Father, that you'll challenge us, encourage us, help us to see your hand in the midst of all these turmoil and difficulty, and that, Father, that we'll always be able to share with the world around us the Savior who died for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, the slain Lamb, that we might have eternal life. We thank you for your promises. We cling to them and look forward to this next hour. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you can stretch, get a drink, use the restroom, but don't go anywhere. There's still more to come. Yes, indeed. I see. So this is the little app that Dana sent me, that he showed me where to get it. Just this itty-bitty dinky map app, as soon as I put it up, whatever's on my screen